If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the power of your energy and influence. So let's take a deep conscious breath of intention. And just feel and experience yourself as the energy of oneness, the energy of one life, one love, and one light. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced yourself as your energy? No, really. Do you know yourself as your energy? Would you recognize the energetic signature of your mind, your emotional body, your physical body, your overall soul signature? It's very important to know the self, because it's only the self that will reveal the heart of all things to you. That self, that self with a capital S, is the source, the God energy. That is the overall sum total of all life. And you are connected to that in a very unique way, as your own unique energy signature. You are energy, and only energy. Within all of the cosmos, you are recognized and known by your energy. And all of creation recognizes, reacts, and responds, and reflects back to you your energy. So the source of all this energy is God. The formless, absolute, all-pervasive, omnipresent God is this sum total that we call energy, that manifests as all that is. Now, we lost that sense of oneness at some point, and we experience what Albert Einstein has described in this way. A person experiences life as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. Our task must be to free ourselves from this self-imposed prison, and through compassion, to find the reality of oneness. So, approximately 26,000 years ago, we all fell asleep and dreamed we were separate. And this awakening that we call the ascension or the shift of the ages or the movement into a love-based earth really signifies the next 26,000-year period in which we return to that completely whole enlightened state. Only we're doing it very rapidly so that we can enjoy approximately 26,000 years of light. So we are in this process gradually returning to an awareness of ourselves as the energy of love and light. So the tasks, let's say, of the avatars and saints, yogis, masters, initiates and disciples on this planet is to keep generating positive energy. That positive energy is a transforming and transmuting energy of love and light. And this is what enables all that is not that to be dissolved and dissipated, so that it, in a sense, vanishes and is no longer apparent. So we are the energy generators that displace the darkness with the light. We don't destroy the darkness. We don't attack the darkness. We don't do battle with the darkness. We simply dissolve it because it's unreal. All darkness is fear-based. In fact, fear, again, is false evidence appearing real. So all sense of separation generates fear. Fear we call the ego or the false mind that projected a misperception of self and cannot see clearly that which is simply love. So all negativity is fear-based, and all love is divine-based. One is false and one is true. It's as simple as that. So human beings are the method that the formless, absolute God uses to manifest in visible form. Humans are partial manifestations, part ego, part divine, part fear, part love. Genuine avatars are those superhumans who have transcended fear and ego and are total manifestations of divinity. So you are the physical vessel, the vehicle through which the power of the universe flows, through which the formless all that is can be seen, touched, and directly experienced. And that is the real reason that you are embodied at this time. One divine source has manifested as every molecule within all of existence. And this is the life force of everything and everyone. God created man. The formless God created man after his own image and likeness, which is formless spirit. And man has created God and gods out of his own human form and his own image and likeness. How is that? Well, last show we mentioned that the electron basically is the God, the Father God source particle. And photons are the Christ consciousness or the sun or the principle we call the soul in cosmos. And the creative energy of manifestation is the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, or the Shakti. This is the divine feminine, not as in female, but as in the qualities of love and compassion. So this divine Shakti, which has a feminine valence or connotation, simply means the movement from that which would be the more linear, left-brain, mental approach to life to the more loving and compassionate approach to life. And again, the blending of both so that you have a wholeness here. And the age we're moving into has been called the age of the Holy Spirit, or the age in which she, the Divine Mother, leads. But again, not in a polarization as into a feminine polarity, but in the quality of loving compassion, which is that which transcends gender and is part of all of us as divine beings. So our positive energies and thoughts have created all of the divine archetypes that we see in the lower worlds, the personified forms that are particularly well depicted as the various deities of the Hindu and Buddhist pantheon. The various demigods and goddesses are all made after our own identification with form and attributes. And man's prayers and visualizations keep these gods and demigods in form. But they all reside in human consciousness. I have a wonderful friend who is very, very enlightened. And whenever I call her, she mentions of how from her kundalini energy, the various masters will step out of her spinal column and manifest in front of her in vision and in different imagery. We spoke last week of the kundalini and how everything comes forth from within us through our DNA and through the kundalini energy that is within us, the kundalini being another metaphor for the awakened consciousness. So everything is within us, within our own consciousness, within our own inner universes and worlds that we have peopled with our belief systems and our identifications with different energy fields. So they all reside within us as the positive qualities given form. And within the lower heaven dimensions, these deities all exist upon the subtle planes that we call the causal planes of Turiya and Siddhaloka, the worlds of Turiya. And Siddhaloka is what they're called in Sanskrit. So likewise, man's own negativity and unredeemed ego energies have given form to the negativity that we call the various wrathful deities and demons and imps, these things that parade forth as the boogeymen of our inner shadow self. And these, too, are self-generated, and as you awaken to the loving that you truly are, that light and love that you are, displaces and causes the vanishing of these particular manifestations. So as man vanquishes his own personal demons and rises into higher divine consciousness states, these demons also vanish from within him, since his negativity and his negativity alone gave rise to them in the first place. So avatars are human souls who have merged with God in absolute oneness so that they are virtually God appearing in form. We can't say that they're born or that they die, but they appear into this dimension and seem to be born, and they disappear from this dimension and sometimes appear to die. But the birth and the death is all part of what we call the grand illusion or Maya. So in a sense, nothing that is energy can possibly ever cease to exist. True, it can transform into another form, but it can never cease to be. Energy, being one with God, is eternal. So God is one, no matter what name or definition or religious valence that you cast over that form. All differences are man-created, projected, and sustained. God is one, never, ever created any form of religion, and basically is nameless and formless. But again, human beings have given the names and the forms and the separations and the creedal boxes that they try to confine the omnipresent oneness in. So God, as you, as the divine absolute consciousness, is all that exists, everything being within you and within your consciousness, and nothing you experience is external to you. This is something that is so deeply esoteric and yet so simple. Once the veil of illusion lifts even a tiny bit and you have a true, genuine, mystical experience of the oneness of all life, that everything is imbued with divine light and consciousness. Once you've had that, you never again can forget it. You never again can quite buy into the realize the sense of being separate or the reality of form, which tends to appear and disappear and perish in this world. You don't buy into that after you've had that genuine mystical experience. So the salvation of the world depends on you. The Course in Miracles has a whole lesson devoted to that, where the mantra for the day is, the salvation of the world depends on me. And Jesus has said that is the only statement you can make that is totally without arrogance. How can that be? Because no matter how many of us think there are many, the truth is there's only one appearing as all that is. And when, since you are the world that you see or dream you see, the world is saved and redeemed when you are. So again, the world being generated, the world of separation being generated by this separate ego mind, a fear-based mind, is also reborn in wholeness as we replace the ego mind with the mind that was in Christ Jesus, which is the mind that never loses awareness of its oneness with the Father and with Divine Source. So this is what we're returning to. And the scriptures tell us that the time is coming when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And no one will need to be taught any more about God, because the knowledge of God will have dawned in every mind and heart. And that's what we would call the Golden Age or the Ascension. That time when the dream of separation simply dissolves in the love of the experience of our oneness with all life. So this is something that's happening even as we speak. We can't stop it. It's going to happen. It is happening. And thus nothing is separate, nor can ever be separate from God, from the divine life force. And the Maya, like fog, disappears and dissipates in the light of the sun, the Bodhi, the enlightened mind. So the sense of separation is that false state from which we're awakening. And the divine energy that we are can never be born, nor can it ever be destroyed. It is forever one with Source. So you as a soul are the sum total, in just like God is the sum total of all that is, you as a soul are the sum total in consciousness of your uniquely generated personal energy patterns. Your personal vibration is unique in all of the cosmos, and your use of energy as a conscious spirit and soul, and the direction of your mental, emotional, and physical energies forms your unique energy signature. And that can be recognized and is recognized within all the cosmos. And within all of nature, as I've often said, there's no one else with your exact frequency of vibration, your exact frequency of love and light is unique. That's what is said. You are the uniquely, the only and uniquely begotten Son of God. Each one of us is the uniquely begotten Son of God. And in that, the value of being yourself is so important, so that you don't imitate anyone else, but you celebrate your difference, your uniqueness, at the same time that you awaken to your oneness within the all that is. Sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. And it's one of those things that can't be understood with the human mind, because the human mind is totally conditioned to see only separation and only difference and only a fear-based reality. So obviously the work of the Shekinah, the Holy Spirit within you, is to gradually shine away the misperceptions of self that we call the ego mind, and to generate within you the divine seership that we call the mind of Christ or Christ consciousness. That's what we're doing. And each one of our shows, we focus on another way that we can peel away the illusion that we are separate and that we're not divine. So contemplate the fact that you are your energy. Get to know your energy. Relish in the deliciousness of your energy. It is so yummy when you are resonating divine light and love, that you just fall in love with that energy. You just want to snuggle in it and bathe in it and bask in it. And that's exactly what you do. Enjoy it. So the energy of your thoughts, words, and actions communicates instantly. There's no separation either in terms of distance or location. Everything you speak, act, and do instantly reaches the entire cosmos. So everything you do, likewise, touches and affects the whole of life, because also minds are not separate. Nothing is separate. Everything that we think is separate is not separate at all. And part of the golden age is the dissolving of the sense of having a private zone where no one can see. Everything is revealed. The age of revelation and the apocalypse is the uncovering of everything that was hidden. Nothing is private anymore. Everything is known as energy and recognized at some level by everyone, even now, when we're still partially awake and partially asleep. So this divine energy that you are fills you with the breath, prana, and life force that we call light. And that light is conscious awareness. And that light is all that exists. So every single mystic that has had a genuine mystical experience has seen all of creation dissolve into a field of light. All forms disappear in that transcendental light. And one knows, as I've said before, for an absolute fact that light is all there is. And God is in everything we see. God is light. And your physical body is a temple for that holy light to be encased, made available, in-housed, indwelt. It is the container for that holy light that manifests as divine love. So bodies differ only in the extent that they're like light bulbs of different wattages. Some have dimmer light, and others carry a higher wattage and thus produce greater light. An avatar, for example, would be a mega, 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 mega light, the highest wattage. And so in the light of a great soul that has become one with its divine self, you can sometimes see more clearly your own self, because that is what light does. It reveals the truth. It brings truth and light to the surface and revelation. Now, the vibration of light and the vibration of love are identical. So it follows that the greater and purer the love one expresses, the greater and brighter is the light one radiates. Just think of how a person's face glows with radiance when they're in love, or very happy and uplifted and inspired. And also, be aware of how a person's face darkens when they're angry or when they're expressing negativity or hatred or wrath. Look at your own face in the mirror. And observe how your energy and radiance shifts with your moods. Thus, every person is recognized by their light, and we could also say by their love quotient. So your light quotient and your love quotient, what you've been able to assimilate and consistently emanate, is how you show up on the inner planes and how you're recognized, and also constitutes the seal or the mark on the forehead of the elect. That occurs when the spiritual light has awakened and the vibrations of light and love have gathered into the single focus of the soul center, which then manifests as the third eye. Suddenly you become visible to the forces of light. For example, the Ashtar Command can see you and beam you up. The angels will rush to surround and protect you, and also to obey your wishes. And all of nature bends itself in obedience to the will of your conscious soul force. You know, the yogis in India can meditate amidst all the wild animals and the cobras and and all of the forces of nature will honor their meditative state and will not harm them. In fact, the reason why Buddha is depicted, the statues of Buddha are depicted with those bumps on his head. It is said that the snails crawled up and protected his head and his crown chakra when he was in great states of meditative trance. Because, as I said in the last show, the sun rays are very harmful to the opened crown chakra. So even the little snails protected the head of Buddha when he was meditating. Likewise, often you will see the cobra over the heads of Lord Shiva or the other meditating deities. Like, for example, Vishnu will also be shown with a cobra over his head. And so even the cobras will sometimes come and shelter and protect the yogi in meditation. So these are beautiful. It's beautiful to see how everything recognizes and honors somebody who is in the true state of the divine self. And when you're in that state of love, wild animals will never, ever harm you. They will never attack you. Wild animals only attack fear, which they sense as weakness. So again, the scriptures say the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is a manifestation of light and love, and that is both your strength and your protection. So the new age, the golden age, the rapture, the moving into Christ consciousness, or the enlightened state, or ascension, all refer to that process of resonating and vibrating as light. And this is what all light bearers aspire to. But the status is determined only by you, by the energy you personally generate and send forth. Who's in charge of that? You are. You are the one who decides how you are going to direct the energy of your emotions, your mind, your physical body, whether you're going to react in ego and fear, or you're going to respond with love, whether you're going to be a source of blessing or a curse in your environment. You alone generate and determine what you're going to generate and send forth. And the forces of light really honor you in your free will. They will not thrust anything upon you. Even heaven will not be thrust on you. Nothing will be thrust upon you. You have to open and receive. Whatever you receive from Spirit, you open and receive in faith. That's it. Otherwise, you know, the energy will pass right over you because it will not violate your free will. So, know this. Your only function and reason for taking embodiment at this point during the planetary shift of the ages is to be a generator, transmitter of the energies of light and love for divine source to source through. So everything must come through the human instrument to reach the earth. That's just the way it's set up. So the entire transformation of earth during this period of cleansing and the collapse of the old ego-based systems requires your positive energy. You are the energy generators that determine how this whole thing is going to go down. You can choose to destroy the earth and continue being completely ignorant of your effect on your environment and generate more and more toxicity and fog and smog and pollution and global warming and all of that. You can continue that. You can continue fighting and building bombs and creating more and more wars and reacting with more and more vengeance and hatred to your fellow man and destroy your earth. You can do that. You will be left to do that. You won't be allowed to export it to other worlds, but you will be allowed to do that if that's your choice. The only hope is that there's enough people who will choose to be positive energy in this world to make a different outcome. And that's what so many of us are focusing upon at this time. So establishing ourselves within the new love-based fifth globe of the earth, or Earth's new incarnation, you could call it, depends on the positive vibrations that you can generate and radiate and maintain as an energy collector and battery. Now, there are great souls in the world. There is a mega avatar on the planet today in the form of Sri Satya Sai Baba, who can make use of you as an energy generator in the sense that you can be outposts of the avataric energy of divine love and transformation wherever you live. And you become such an outpost when you are truly doing all you can possibly do to be the living love. As a light bearer, you are here to bear light. The Aquarian water bearer simply means one who carries the living waters of eternal love and light. So God can only do for you and for the earth what he can do through you on the earth. So your earth incarnation is extremely important. Never get the sense that just because it's Maya, that it doesn't have significance and value and importance, because it does. It's said in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna, having no need to act, acts for the benefit of all sentient beings. So once you transcend karma, your work becomes dharma. And dharma dissolves even into divine love, where you don't have even a sense of duty. You just simply respond because it's your nature to extend the love of God. So your nature, your true nature, is to extend the love and light of your divine creator. That's what you're made for. You can do it because you're ready now. For the first time, we have a global collective avatar, a collective messiah, a group of individuals that form the body of Christ, or the body of the beloved, the body of that one that symbolizes pure divine love. So you alone set the limit on what is possible through ignorance or unwillingness. And your unwillingness will not be violated. You can remain as ignorant and as unwilling as you want for as long as you want, but you will not be graduating into the new love-based earth unless you're willing and choose to relinquish that ignorance and remove tendency to close down in the face of loving. So Divine Spirit honors you, loves you, adores you, will give you infinite time to make the only choice that really is there to be made ultimately, which is to be who you truly are. So everything you do, whatever you happen to be, no matter whatever you happen to be doing, do it as an emissary of God's love and do it for God. So one of the simple ways we can begin this process is to simply refuse to participate in negative exchanges with others. You might think this is difficult. It isn't if you want really to be a positive force in this world. You'll be very sensitive. The more the Holy Spirit and the Kundalini awakens within you, the less you're going to even want to go there when people are negative. You're not going to be returning negative blow for negative blow. That puts you right under the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we're walking through grace, which is to respond from that loving place and to recognize all negativity is fear-based. All negativity, without exception, is based on fear and is a request for healing and love. So when you realize that and remind yourself of that, you're not going to react negatively when someone is in a fearful state. You're going to interpret it as a request for love and assistance, just like the Holy Spirit does when you get in your gnarly worst. So it's best to ignore people's insults and negative expressions. Just ignore them. Train yourself not to react personally to people's negative expressions. It's their own fear that they're dealing with, their own inner demons. It has nothing to do with you. Even if you happen to be in their line of fire, it's not about you. It's everybody awakening to the love that they are. And it's an inside job for each one of us. So some seem to go about with a veritable mission to disrupt and cause dissent and discord. And wherever they go. Their speech is filled with negative expressions and judgment and anger and bitterness and all of that. And these are all the workers of darkness, most of them unconscious of the fact that they are that. Very few people, I think, practice active ill will, although some sure look like they are. But your best safeguard to any negative expression is to go your own way and not lend it any energy. Don't support with your attention or your reaction dark energies. Without energy of agreement, attention, and fortification, such negative energy has nothing to build upon to use against you or to build a stronghold of greater negativity in the world. You know, Jesus said that we must pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. We must forgive 70 times 7, which means keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And we are to overcome evil by doing good. So it's only our positive energy that's going to bring any kind of transformation in our physical life, our spiritual life, and our planetary life. So Gandhi used this exact process of non-cooperation. In the case of Gandhi, he refused to cooperate with injustice and tyranny. And by his non-cooperation and the movement he started of non-cooperation with what was going down in his country of India, by that simple act, he freed the entire nation. And this is how powerful that simple refusing to cooperate with the things that are not of God, the things that are not of love. You just let them go by. And that non-participation begins the transmutation process. That's also the best way to discipline your children. Did you know that? You reward them with attention when they're doing something positive and good, and you direct them, but you don't put energy into what they do that is wrong. You just make a big deal out of everything they do that is right. The dog whisperer, Cesar Millan, on that wonderful program that's airing now, about how you train dogs, it's the same principle. You never reward a dog with affection when he's in a state of anxiety and acting out of fear. You only reward him when he's in a calm and submissive state. So likewise, don't pay so much attention to your darkness. Pay more attention to who you are in reality. Forget your ego. Don't keep... of saying you've got ego, or you're a sinner, or you're this, or you're that. Quit putting so much energy into what you're not. Begin to say things like, I am the uniquely begotten Son of God, in whom the Father is well pleased. I am divine. I am one with my Father. I am one with all of life. I am a pure and divine incarnation of loving. You know, say things like that begin to fortify your truth. Now, non-reaction and non-response and negativity is actually the best way to avoid getting hooked into polarized situations. You don't fortify peace in the world by being against war. You be for peace, and you bring peace with you wherever you go. In that way, you strengthen peace. But you don't go into a polarized state. So strengthen unity, fortify oneness, and divine neutrality and indifference is the way of the wise when they walk through the world, which is based so much on people talking about things that is none of their business. Keep to your own mission and be positive energy in the world. Practice it every day and every interchange that you possibly can. When someone attempts to draw you into negative gossip or slander, stop. Go silent. Change the subject. Leave the scene. Same thing if somebody tries to pick an argument or a fight. If one of your spouses would go into silence and stop and not react when one of the others starts to generate a fight, you would never get into your arguments. So learn not to put energy into conflict if you want to see peace manifest in your world. And consequently, you will see a world at peace when you stop the war in your own inner self. So this avoidance of participation includes speaking about others and the business of others, passing on negative hearsay, opinions, stories, criticisms, and judging others or yourself. I was hearing somebody talk about how angry they were at themselves because of something they did. I thought, how stupid can a person be to be angry with himself? It's like, why would you be angry with yourself when you are yourself and you have complete choice whether or not to be angry or not? And, you know, it's just the way people tend to think about themselves that you see and hear in their expression. So don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be angry at yourself. Be the love of the self. And you can simply say, when someone tries to hook you into this negative things, you can simply say that is none of my business, so I have no comment. Or, that is not an area I choose to reinforce. You know, and just stating that, this may cause, hopefully it will cause, others to begin to reconsider what they are fortifying in this world. You know, every day we are either increasing the peace or increasing the hell on this world of warfare and terrorism and all of that. We are responsible for the world that we see, because the world we see is entirely self-generated. So only those who vibrate as living love and light will be able to make that vibrational transfer to the new earth. Only those of love. All else will be swept away in the rapid changes soon to engulf the lower dimensional earth. So your vibration of love is your boarding pass and your key to ascension, and also your assurance of graduating from this with this life wave and moving into the higher dimensions. So your duty and your assignment from the ruler of the cosmos is to produce a consistently high vibration of positive, loving energy, so that you can be available at all times and can be trusted to hold steady amidst the storms of life. Think of yourself as a battery generator of this positive divine energy that the hierarchy, the avatar, the God forces, the divine forces, can actually source through and to and utilize as an outpost transmitter of these higher frequencies wherever you live on the planet. And in every situation, you could ask yourself, what would love do now? And then just do, say, and think that. Live your life as if love is all that matters. You will quite naturally flow vibrationally into the new dimensional earth. You won't even have to think about it. So if you're already living in that way, and many of you are, then hold that loving space and take it to the next level. Because there's always more, always deeper, always greater. Stretch beyond your normal comfort zones. And in so doing, assist others who are ready for those ascension keys to be quickened within them of greater love and greater light. And one of the manifestations of greater positive energy on the planet is a lessening of the pain that is part of the Earth's birthing process, a lessening of the death and destruction and the chaotic weather patterns, lessening of the conflicts so prevalent in our war-torn Earth, the many conflicts and mental and emotional breakdowns that many people are going through. You will lessen these considerably as you become a steady outpost of radiating love and light. And your influence can make all the difference in what happens in your own home, your neighborhood, your community, your job place, your nation, and this planet as a whole. Your prayers, your sacred songs and chants can stop terrorists and wars and bombs instantly. That's how much power you have. If everyone in the earth would choose love now, this entire earth would become heaven, and the Christ would be present as the light of the world. So that is our duty. That is our dharma. That is our divine mandate, is to be that and only that now. This is the utmost importance. And it is true that not everyone is going to choose to awaken to the love that they are at this time. Many people will not come to God until catastrophic events bring them to their knees. The Avatar Sai Baba has said that there will be 7 years in which humanity will be brought to their very knees, but that out of that they will ultimately choose God, and the golden age will dawn. He also said that only those of love will be able to enter this kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, and all those who are not rooted in devotion to God will be swept away like the winds of chaff, by the winds of change, like chaff. So these are words I actually heard him speak when I was in India many years back. So your life on earth at this time was due to God's grace. It is a great gift and opportunity to be an awakened light worker at this time is the greatest blessing you could possibly have. So make full use of this opportunity and step free through grace while you have the chance to do so, while you have a great avatar in the midst who's like a mega generator of the energies of reality and transformation and freedom. This is the time to move into soul transcendence and step free of the reincarnation and karmic cycles that came in with the fall. This is your time to do that. And Sai Baba says, be aware that this chance will not come again. If you waste this time and this opportunity, when will you get this chance again? Those are his exact words. So I think it's time to prioritize our moving into the highest state of positive vibration that we possibly can. We are needed right now to send forth the most positive vibrations possible for all worlds and all beings, because the lower dimensions, worlds, and beings are all being made ready to enter the next higher stage of existence. So how do you live? Well, very simply, there are five human values that spell out what we're to do. The first one is truth. Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. If it's a truth that's going to hurt someone, Sai Baba said you can remain silent. But otherwise, just tell it like it is. Tell the truth. The next thing is do the right thing. Whatever seems to be the right thing to do, according to your conscience, do that. And don't do anything that violates your conscience. That would be your dharma. The next is peace. Be peaceful. Create peace and bring peace wherever you go. When you enter a room, let it be such a wave of peace that the whole room is brought into a state of balance and harmony. The next thing is love. Create a loving atmosphere wherever you go. Be the love of God and leave every place better for your having been there. Next is harmlessness. Don't do anything at all that's harmful to anyone. And another thing that's important to do is to seek divine knowledge, not personal acknowledgement. So we learn to become less than who we think we are so that what we really are can manifest more fully through us. And the energy, the presiding energy of the New Age will be the energy that we have associated with Jesus, the Christ. It's the Shakti energy, the Christ energy, which is one of loving compassion. And that is the energy that will prevail and be the Lord of all in the times to come and the times that are quickly upon us and dawning. Within the next 25 to 27 years, according to Sai Baba, the entire new civilization will be upon this earth. The entire earth will be changed. The atmosphere will be changed. Everything will be changed. And we will have a full-blown golden age. So now we're in that birthing, in that cusp of where we're making that active transfer. And this is why all hands are being called on deck. We need to bring this divine ship of life into that safe waters that are smooth and that will flow us in the most harmonious and pain-free way possible. So do your prayers. Do your songs of congregational singing. Do the various processes that you do alone and also in congregations so that you begin to fortify each other in your devotion, in your faith, in your evocation of the divine and the best within each person. And as you do that, have an intention towards the world. We have this thing now, what's it called, world mind or something, in which you can actually watch minute by minute by going on the Internet and clicking on, I think it's called Global Mind. By clicking on it, you can see the effects of your prayers instantly over the collective earth. It's quite amazing. I don't know how they do that, but it shows actual pictures of the earth and how the energy shifts from moment to moment based on the human consciousness. So everything you do has an intense energetic impact and effect. Never think that anything you do is wasted. There's a cumulative effect of goodness that builds up in and around you and around situations, and each of us contributes and contributes until it becomes a momentum that takes on a life of its own. Let's become that momentum of divine love and global peace and global light. Let's be that global peace, that global love, that global life and light on this planet. And let's do all we can to shift our world as painlessly as possible into its next incarnation as the new earth. So, as an ambassador of the new earth, as a divine incarnation of love, as an ascension facilitator, how will you now live so that you exemplify that love is all that matters? You teach love so that you learn love. You become the love that you want to experience, that you want to see in the world. And you announce by your own behavior that love is the answer, no matter what the question. And consequently, it will become more and more apparent that the only problem we've ever had on this planet is the false sense of separation. And that must go and will go as we choose loving and oneness. And as emissaries of divine love and light, let's go out chanting the Anahi, which is the very chant of loving oneness, empathy, and compassion. Deep breath. Good evening, and God willing, the voice of the Ashtar Command and myself, Commander Lady Athena, will be with you next week. Adonai.